In 5, 4, 3. This is news. News with Nick. That was pretty cool, huh? Oop. Almost restarted it. news with Nick for March. Wait, it's not March. April 9th, 2015. We have a lot to get to. It has been a while. We're going to jump straight into it. First, update from last week. We were talking about that plane that crashed with the co-pilot. And I said something along the lines of, I think he was planning it. I don't think he coerced the pilot out of the cockpit. Well, it has come out that apparently the pilot, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to listen to last week's show and or actually read like the news in general. I know that this is your only source for news, so I don't fault you for not knowing if you haven't heard last show. Anyway, apparently the pilot goes into the cockpit and says, yeah, I didn't get to go to the bathroom. And so during the flight, the co-pilot's like, you know, you can go anytime. Yep. And then the pilot says, okay, you're in control. And the co-pilot says, I hope so. And then the pilot leaves and the co-pilot locks him out. And the rest is history. Just like all of the people on that plane. I take a sip of wine. As is tradition for News with Nick, we have a lot to get to. Like I'm saying, this may be old news at this point, but there was a lot of hubbub on the internet and around the world on the radios about this religious freedom law. It was passed in Indiana. And actually, there is a federal, quote-unquote, religious freedom law, and many states have these, quote-unquote, religious freedom laws. And I'm going to bring you the actual text of the religious freedom law. Now, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but this was passed in Indiana, and then the media latched on to it a little bit, and it became a big to-do. So first of all, let me see if I can find the text. The text, in general, of the religious freedom law passed in Indiana is a governmental entity may not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability. Okay, so even if the burden is something that you generally, like it's a rule you apply to most people, you may not burden, if you're a governmental entity, you may not burden a person's exercise of religion, even if you would normally stop someone from doing so. So your religion could be, I love to drive 120 miles per hour. And the government would say, no, we don't let anyone drive 120 miles per hour. And you say, oop, it's my religion. You may not burden my exercise of such religion. Part B. A governmental entity may substantially burden a person's exercise of religion only if the governmental entity demonstrates that application of the burden to the person is one, in furtherance of a compelling governmental interest, and is the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest. Blah, blah, blah. Next section says, a person whose exercise of religion has been substantially burdened or is likely to be may do all these things. Go to court, go to tribunal, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, you can't drive 120 and say, that's my religion, so I don't know what all the rules are around religion, and I'm not smart enough to bring it to you today, unfortunately. The thing is, that's the text of the law. And then someone said, hey, I wonder if the way this law is written means that if you're a business, you cannot serve gay people because you think they're stupid because you're religious. And then what happened was, I should probably have the audio for this if I were a real reporter, and I don't, unfortunately, was a reporter went to this real Christian pizza place. And let's see, I'm going to have to actually pull this up, so let me edit right here, and I'm going to actually take 2 seconds to pull this up. Okay, here is some audio from an interview that happened at what's called Memories Pizza in Indiana. And I'm not sure exactly what led to this interview. It seemed like maybe this particular reporter was going around maybe looking for some religious businesses and asking them what they thought of this new religious freedom law.
Protect those ideals.
If a gay couple was to come in, like say they wanted us to provide them pizzas for a wedding, we would have to say no.
Crystal O'Connor and her family.
Wow. Okay, so cut it right there. So if a gay couple came in and they wanted us to serve their wedding, we would say no.
To provide them pizzas for a wedding, we would have to say no.
Crystal O'Connor and her family are standing firm in their beliefs tonight. They've owned Memories Pizza and Ice Cream in Walkerton for almost 10 years.
Now, first of all, oopsies, I just skipped. Oh my goodness, I just skipped.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Huh.
That was a strange skip. I just skipped videos, and the next video is Minecraft Sex Mod 2. Okay, let's figure out what this is. This is a real side.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my goodness. What is this? So I'm watching a Minecraft video. There's a real blocky girl, but she's in a bikini, and she's in bed.
Hey? Wir starten nach dieser etwas längeren von, denn das hier ist das sogenannte Fun. Also das heißt einfach so.
Okay, it's in another language. Well, let's go back to...
Only on ABC.
Oh my God, I am the worst podcaster on earth. Let's go back to Indiana Pizza Place and skip to where we were.
A small town business.
It's a cute little town. Walker.
Now, so the pause button is right next to the skip button. That's what happened. I accidentally skipped to Minecraft Sex Mod 2. I'm not sure how that happened. Okay, so here's the thing. First of all, do they even do weddings? Like, they didn't even say that, oh, this pizza place normally does weddings, they just wouldn't do a gay wedding? What pizza place just does weddings, first of all?
Kentucky.
With the small town...
Whenever I say first of all, there's never a second of all.
Ideals.
We're a Christian establishment.
They pride themselves in owning a business that reflects their religious beliefs.
Oh my goodness.
We're not discriminating against
anyone. So they're taking
B-roll?
They're taking B-roll around the shop, and it's all like crosses and He is risen statements. Which, by the way, I wonder if... I mean, this is probably common in certain areas, right? Like, every business probably has this.
We're not discriminating against anyone. It's just that's our belief. And everybody has the right to believe anything.
So when Governor Pence signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act into law, the family was not disappointed.
We definitely agree with the bill.
I asked her about the negative backlash it's been getting for being a discriminatory legislation. Her response...
I do not think it is targeting gays. Yeah. Person. I don't think it's a discrimination.
She believes it's a way to protect businesses like hers.
Which is true. There's nothing in the bill that says if you're religious and you hate homosexuals, you can discriminate against them. Like, people are making that part up.
Oh, it's supposed to help people that have a religious belief.
She says because she is a Christian, she and her family don't support gay marriage, and that is their right.
I agree with the bill.
Kevin O'Connor is Crystal's father, and you could say he's set in his ways. He believes the negative backlash the bill and its supporters are getting isn't fair.
That's a lifestyle that you choose. You know, I choose to be heterosexual. They choose to be homosexual. Why should I be beat over the head?
Okay, I realize people are going to be mad at that. Let's just go on.
Because they choose that lifestyle.
Oh, okay. The shot after him saying that was just a girl just staring at the camera like, yeah, I can't believe it either. I'm so shocked.
And now the O'Connor family tells me that if a gay couple or a couple belonging to another religion stepped into their restaurant to eat, they would never deny them service. They only say they would just not cater their wedding. Reporting live in Walkerton tonight.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the story. They went to a business. A business is like, ooh, we can be on the news. Let's say some great things about our religion. We don't like the gay weddings. We don't want to serve pizza at the gay weddings. Put this on the news. And then everyone got mad for some reason. And they're like, we don't care if a gay person comes and eats our pizza. We don't have a sign on the door that says, no gays. We just don't want to do a gay wedding. Let's not do one. So that was the news. Everyone lost their minds a little bit, and they were like, this is the worst pizza place on earth. Let's burn them to the ground. They need to die. They need to be gay, which is worse than death or something. I don't know. So in my opinion, they have a business. Who freaking cares? If they don't want to do your wedding, you don't want them at your wedding. It's not going to be like, you don't want to do our wedding with your stupid pizza? Okay, I'm suing you so that you have to come do my wedding with your pizza. Just be like, okay, you don't want to do it? Fine. It's not a big deal. I mean, I understand how in the, like, sometimes it can be frustrating to get a vendor, a wedding vendor, or whatever. But like what if they don't, what if I don't want to do a wedding and I'm a pizza place? I don't want to do a satanic wedding because I don't want to be surrounded by blackness and like candles all day long. I just don't want to feel like I'm surrounded by candles all day long at your satanic wedding. Does that mean I'm intolerant of the satanics? Yes, but who cares? So the point is, if you're against this pizza place, fine. If you think this pizza place should be forced to accept everybody and accept all weddings that come to them, you're stupid. And this is not supposed to be an editorial show. It's supposed to be a news show. I understand. But this made me very, like, I felt like the whole world lost their mind. It's like, what about business freedom, aka individual freedom? They're individuals. They have a right to say, I don't want to come to your wedding and sell you pizza. I don't care if I'm a business. I don't care if I'm a person that makes pizza pies in my Easy Bake. I don't have to sell you pizzas. It's my, I'm a person. I'm allowed to not, you're being into, you're intolerant of my intolerance. That makes you intolerant. If you're intolerant of me being intolerant, you're intolerant. So there. what if I'm a wedding videographer and I don't know how to shoot a wedding with two guys? All I know how to do is zoom in on a bride. And if there's no bride, I'm completely lost. I don't want to do your wedding no matter what. One of my first weddings when I was a wedding videographer was a lesbian wedding. And it was one of the best. It was really fun, actually. Yeah, they posted on Craigslist. I got their business. I think they were one of my first customers ever that wasn't like, when you're first starting a business, of course, you're always selling to the people you know first, right? I think they were one of the first people, if not the very first couple I ever got that weren't previously known. I saw on Craigslist, they're like, we need a wedding videographer. Students are okay. Like, they were desperate. It seemed like someone had dropped out. Maybe someone found out they were lesbians and were like, no, 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 no. I thought I was doing a norm. Now I'm doing a les. And I didn't even know I was doing a les because their names were Chris and Kate. And I'm like, oh, cool, that's normal. And then they were like, yeah, the two brides. And I'm like, okay, well, this should be good. And it was. It was completely fine. Sorry. Well, that was Indiana. That was the Indiana gay news, and I don't really have an update on that. I don't know. They had to close for a couple days, but they made like thousands and thousands of dollars, if not $100,000, on some GoFundMe account where the Christians were like, yeah, let's give them money, which, fine, who cares? I mean, if you get, I don't know. You have a right to not, okay, I already said it. I already said it. Everyone has rights, and everyone has the right to not sell you something. No, if they don't like that you're ug, if they don't like that you're black, if they don't like that you're gay. Okay? They're allowed to not sell you something. It's a right of transaction. Okay? And then if other people find out about it, they have a right to never do business with that customer again. Cool. Okay. Going on, we have the owner of the now offline revenge porn website was sentenced to 18 years in prison. Let's play the video.
In Israel, they call it virtual.
I don't know why Israel matters.
Virtual rape. Maliciously uploading intimate pornographic images of former partners, often by spurned exes seeking revenge. And like rape, revenge porn can shatter lives.
Oh, okay, so what happens is a boyfriend breaks up with his girlfriend, or the other way around, and he sends the pics that she texted him over that Snapchat to revengeporn.com or whatever.
Judith, not a real name, is a 24-year-old Israeli woman who knows its devastating impact. She only learned her ex-boyfriend had posted an intimate video of her when it appeared on social media sites and her phone started to ring.
Okay, I can't do that video. Kevin Bowler, who was 27, my goodness, has been found guilty in February of 6 counts of extortion and 21 counts of identity theft. Well, that's strange. Let's go on and see why he is charged with extortion and identity theft. He faces a maximum of 23 years in prison. Oh, wait, that's... I must have a... Hang on. The first paragraph says he was sentenced to 18 years in prison. He faced a maximum of 23 years. Okay. So he only got 18. So he's off the hook, Graham. Prosecutors said that he created a website that allowed people to post explicit images of people without their permission, which necessarily may not be, like, illegal. If you own the picture, you can post the picture. Just because it's of someone else doesn't mean you don't have rights to the picture. It's not how pictures work. The site also posted personal information of the people in the pictures without their consent. Okay, that's getting a little grayer. Here's the person's full name and maybe address, even. That would be bad. The sexual explicit material, primarily of women, was routinely posted by angry former boyfriends and ex-husbands, blah, 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 blah. It contained their real name and links to their Facebook profiles. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know what the law is against saying, here's a picture of a person, I own the photo, and here's her Facebook. Like, what's the thing? Okay. He created a second website, though, that solicited payments of $250 to $350 from people who wanted their photographs deleted. He said he made $30,000 on that site. Whoa! Sitting behind a computer, this is a quote, sitting behind a computer committing what is essentially a cowardly and criminal act will not shield predators from the law or jail. We will continue to be vigilant and investigate and prosecute those who commit these deplorable acts. CNN affiliate blah 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 reported that Bollyart's father, the guy, his father, apologized to the victims, saying, "How sorry we are here today because of a shameful, stupid, inappropriate thing my son did. My heart goes out to all of you." That's strange. The station reported that his defense attorney admitted her client made moral transgressions but wasn't legally responsible for 10,000 photos submitted in the year the website operated. That is the end of the story. I don't get... We're going to need to do another search here because I don't get what he was charged with. Like, it's not... He ran a website that said, here's my website, post videos of your girlfriends. Okay, here's another site. Blah, blah, blah. He was the owner of the porn site. 10,000 images were uploaded. He was sentenced to... He victimized teachers, wives, and professionals and led to people losing their jobs, scarring their relationships, and one attempted suicide. No, he didn't. Worse. Okay, I'm reading the article. Worse. He reportedly encouraged users to post identifying information such as name, age, and address of the person. 21 of his victims testified during the trial about how they were embarrassed and humiliated because of his actions. Well, he didn't do it. He didn't post your picture online. What about the guy who sent the picture? Is he going to jail? It ruined my life, and I'm still going through it, one unidentified woman testified. I lost my family. They think I brought shame on them. My reputation is ruined because there's a body under my clothes. She didn't finish. That was me. You know what? I've done a bad job bringing you this story because this makes no sense. Convicted on 21 counts of identity theft and 6 counts of extortion. So I understand extortion, right? So you could say, okay, I have your naked photos. If you give me money, I'll maybe take them off my website. I guess that's kind of extortion. Let's Google extortion. The practice of obtaining something, especially money, through force or threats. Okay, so you're threatening. You have the pictures. You're threatening. On the other hand, it's like I was extorted at the salad store today because they said, if you don't pay us, we're not going to make you a salad. That was a real threat. And I was extorted because if I didn't pay them, they were not going to make me a salad. So I don't know. I feel like this is kind of made up. Because people's feelings were hurt, which is really stupid. I don't see how it's illegal to post someone's Facebook profile. I'm sorry. Like, it seems like he was charged with 21 counts of someone posting identifying information about a girl with naked pictures. Like, it's mean, right? But I don't... 2 stories to start the show, and I don't really understand either of them. Moving on.
An incredible story of survival. A sailor missing for 66 days has been found alive. Lewis Jordan spotted 200 miles off the coast of North Carolina. He was rescued by a container ship, and then the Coast Guard airlifted him to safety. Despite all this, he's in pretty good shape. Treated for a shoulder injury and some dehydration, and his father understandably relieved in an emotional phone call with his son.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing great now. You know, I couldn't fix it. I couldn't sail back with my boat. I'm so sorry. It's such a big loss.
Hey, Lewis, you're fine, son.
Oh, my goodness.
So
he's like,
that you're alive.
This sailor got lost at sea. He was 66 days lost at sea eating fish and rainwater. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry. I lost the boat. It's ruined. It got broken and I had to leave it. I'm really sorry. Which, if you put like your life savings into a boat and you lost it at sea, I guess you could be like upset about that.
Wow. Laura Ingalls live in our New York City newsroom. How did this happen, Laura?
Hi, Bill. Well, he survived on rainwater and fish for those 66 days, but that, of course, was not the initial plan. It started off as an adventure back in January to simply sail and go fishing, according to his mom. After he wasn't heard from in a week, his worried family reported him missing. Jordan was living on his sailboat named Angel at a marina in Conway, South Carolina, before setting off on his...
It's a good thing he's like a fisherman that can actually catch fish. Otherwise, you're like on a raft. Fish don't just magically jump up into the raft and say, eat me, and you can't catch them with your bare hands, I don't think. So it's a good thing like he was actually a fisherman.
Voyage January 23rd. After the 37-year-old was reported missing, the Coast Guard sent out alerts to be on the lookout. And a search began February 8th after Jordan's financial records were checked to see if he had actually come ashore without being noticed. But after 10 days, that search was suspended. Yesterday, the crew of a German flag container ship found him floating on the overturned hull of his sailboat, as you mentioned, 200 miles off the coast of Cape Hatteras. After being rescued by the Coast Guard, he got on the phone with his very relieved dad.
We prayed and prayed and we hoped that you were still alive. So that's all that matters. that's the only thing that matters.
Well,
your mother.
You. Just praying about you because I was afraid that you guys were crying and sad that. You know,
oh my goodness!
I was
dead. Why are we playing this?
I wasn't dead.
Who cares? I mean, it's nice, I guess, that he talks to his dad. But why do we have to play the whole phone call?
Shoulder and dehydration, and have asked some preliminary questions, but they say they're going to be more interested in finding out about what happened out there in the water. But we can tell you the manager of the marina where Jordan docked his boat has told reporters he had seen him go up and down the intercoastal waterway on his sailboat, but wasn't sure how much open water experience he had.
Boring. Oh,
he's alive and he's back with his.
Okay, yeah. Coolio. So a guy flips his sailboat over. Seems like he doesn't live on the life raft, actually. He lives on the overturned sailboat. And how the heck do you do that for 66 days? Wouldn't your hands be pruny? Let me see if there's an update on this guy. Sailor found. I'll just Google it up. Nope. Okay. So that was cool. 66 days. He lives. And he's a lucky. Let's play some information about the TSA. TSA gets to keep $67,000 left behind by travelers. All the quarters, dimes, and other coins forgotten by busy travelers at airport security checkpoints last year added up to a big chunk of change for the federal government. Airline passengers left behind nearly $675,000 in loose change.
Hey.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I can't tell if this video is about this or about something completely different, so let's check.
Say tightening security around your personal electronics, guys. Flyers may be asked to turn on your laptops, turn on your cell phones during security.
Sounds like it's about something different, but it could be interesting. Let's find out.
If they don't turn on, they're not flying, and you will undergo additional security. This is on direct flights to the U.S. from Europe and the Middle East, on concerns that Al-Qaeda bomb makers are coming up with new ways to target airplanes. Meanwhile, you will soon pay more for TSA security. Starting July 21st, the TSA security fee will increase from $2.50 per flight leg to a $5.60 flat fee. That means a nonstop round-trip flight is going to add another $11.20 instead of $5. All right, from security to privacy. The NSA is looking at your baby pictures and your fitness selfies. That's according to new information based on documents Edward Snowden gave the Washington Post. Now, Snowden provided 160,000 conversations.
My goodness, this video is all over the place. Okay, so let's step back. So go if you're flying to the U.S. from overseas, you may be asked to turn on your laptop. So Al-Qaeda, heads up. If you're making a bomb and putting it in a laptop, make sure the laptop also turns on. Okay? It's going to be like that canister in Jurassic Park that still sprays the foam, but it also holds the dino embryos. Okay.
Between 2009 and 2012 on email or social media that were called.
And then what else did they say? Oh, yeah, the TSA fee is going up. So all flights are going to go up by about $5, $6. And then apparently Edward Snowden has released some documents that said the NSA likes to look at you working out.
Caught in the spy agency's traps, 90% of the individuals were just ordinary users. They weren't targets of the government. But just because the government collects it doesn't mean it reads it. The White House not responding to inquiries about this story, but officials told the New York Times yesterday the agency routinely filtered.
Okay, we're done with that story. Well, the real story I put here is that in 2014, travelers lost over $500,000, $675,000 in change. I don't know. Is that a lot? Like, how much does it cost to pay the TSA workers for one day? Like, I feel like that wouldn't even be one day of operation for all the TSA. Like, I can't imagine. Couldn't possibly be. It's got to be, like, a minute of TSA operation charge. If left unclaimed, loose change is documented and turned into the TSA financial office. Doesn't say what they do with spare melatonin pills that someone accidentally drops all over the place. Did you guys hear about... Oh, wait, hang on. We're not going to get into that yet. What is this video? Whoops, we're not playing that. Okay, questions linger. Here's a new story. Where is it? Questions linger after Duke student admits hanging noose. Oh, this is a chilling story out of Durham, North Carolina. The swift discovery of the person who hung a noose at Duke University leaves questions ringing from the student's identity to what punishment the person will face. Now, we know, if we've listened to previous Puke in the Gang episodes, that one day Ellen, walking through the woods, spots a noose, realizes she's being followed. That's the end of the story. The university has begun disciplinary proceedings that could result in suspension or expulsion, while federal and state enforcement officials are investigating whether the action constitutes a crime for hanging a rope. Oh, God. I can't believe it. It's so horrible. It's so, guys, I can barely breathe. It's so horrible. The news that someone hung a rope. The university identified the person after several fellow students came forward with information, and the undergraduate student admitted to hanging the noose from a tree at a plaza in the heart of campus. University spokesman said the student had left campus but is still enrolled. He declined to describe the culprit's gender, race, or whether the student had been in trouble in the past. On Thursday, at the plaza where the noose was hung, teamed with students enjoying a sunny afternoon and discussing what happened. No, I doubt they were discussing what happened. How does the reporter know that? It was just going, like, okay, so imagine a college campus, imagine a field, imagine people hanging out in the field. Now the reporter's going around listening in and having people, and he's like, people are discussing what happened. They're all forming small groups. Guys, let's form small groups and talk about the noose that was hanging. Sarah Burks, a junior English major, said punishing the culprit is the right move, but that it's not going to change a campus culture in which there's definitely still a lot of separation between different groups. There's nothing else they can do when something like this ends up on the front page of the New York Times. They have to find the person, she said. Well, I guess that's a point. Officials say the noose was found at about 2 a.m., Is this really national? Is this all it takes to make national news? Because I'm hanging nooses all over town, if that's the case. And I'm putting pukeinthegang.com on them. And they're going to say, oh my God, this organization called pukeinthegang.com was hanging nooses everywhere. I can't believe them. And then I'm going to start an Indiegogo saying, or a GoFundMe saying, support my religious freedom to hang nooses around campus. One time I was at Keene State College campus, no joke, noose. And the noose was not only just a noose, it was holding a wireframe hanging person. And I heard that this became a controversy because the art department put it up, or someone from the art department had erected it. He erected it and did not get permission. And it was taken down pretty shortly, but it wasn't like, oh my God, someone hung a noose. That's probably because there's only two blacks there, but because let's be honest, you only noose up the blacks, right? That's what they're saying. They're saying someone hung a noose. The more times I say this, the stupider it sounds. Questions linger after Duke student admits hanging noose. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I hung a mistletoe. Arrest me, I hung a mistletoe. Wow, okay. That's the dumbest story I've ever heard. And everyone hang nooses, please, because this is stupid. All right, let's get into the big news of the day. If you've been on FaceTweet or TwitBook or anything like that, you already know, but it's my job to bring it to you. There has been a shooting, and it was involving a police officer shooting a black man. Again. Feels like you can copy and paste this story across the thing, and it's the same story, and everyone's like, oh, let's riot. Again, we're Ferguson, and we don't have a job, so we can riot all day, and also let's loot the Home Depot and the FedEx and the office store, Radio Shack, I mean. Who loots FedEx? Although, I wonder how much good stuff if you're like looting FedEx, that's like Christmas. Like, you just grab a box, and you have no idea what it is. So it's like a surprise. It's not like you're looting a TV, or you're looting anything else that you know what it is. You don't know what it is. That's the point. I think I'm onto something here. Okay. The difference here, video, right? So the story was a minimal story. It was like, an officer shot a black guy, but he's like, oh, there was a tussle. He went for my taser, so I had to shoot him. I really had to. And the officer's boss is like, I believe you. He had to shoot him. Media, just believe him, okay? Well, here is, first of all, what happened after that, 2 days later, someone came forward and said, I have, like, a video I don't know if you care. Like, I've got a video of the shooting. So we're going to have to play this video for you. I understand it may, it's not like, it's not really graphic. Because it's taken from a distance. You can't really see detail of what happened. It's good quality. Definitely. It's like cell phone HD. It's good quality from a distance, but it's not in. It's not like zoomed in. But if you guys are scared, stop the show now. But we're going to be looking at the video of the shooting. It is my job to bring this to you because you may not have seen it. Okay, so we got a guy. He's obviously taking cell phone footage, and he's walking up to a fence. He's looking over the fence with his cell phone. He's flipped it sideways. Now, it's almost like, it's almost like how you would plan out shooting the Bigfoot. Like, it's real shaky, it's real shaky, it's real shaky, and then it's suddenly perfectly stable at the exact point that you need it to be. So it's shaky, 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 walking up to a fence. Suddenly it's perfectly stable as soon as this black guy starts running away from the cop, right? As soon as he starts running away from the cop, the camera is perfectly in focus, perfectly stable. Starts running. Okay, 8 shots toward him. The black guy falls. He's probably 20 or 25 people fats away. That's the new measurement, as you remember, people fats. It actually could be up to 30, 35 people fats apart by the time he's starting to get shot at. Actually, you know what? Hang on. Oh, no. Hang on. I'm going to take that back. The first shot is probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's probably like only 12 people fats when he first gets shot. And he's probably more like 25 or 30 by the time he falls. Like, so who knows how many times he got hit. Now you say, why suddenly was a black man running away from a cop? Well, what we know is that this particular person was arrested several times in the past for such things like not paying child support, mostly. And it seems like maybe he was behind on his child support again, and he's like, I gotta get out of here. So he decides to run from a cop. Who knows why? Because he's not running fast. This is not a skinny fat. This is not a skinny guy. This is not a fat guy necessarily, but he's medium, and he's not real. Well, you know, if he kept that pace, he'd make good progress, I suppose. I mean, he's not Deion Sanders, but he's not real slow either. So he starts running. He's getting shot. I'm sorry I keep playing this. This is sad. Okay. Guy with the camera is still behind the fence. Officer radios in, shots fired. Suspect is down. You only had him to put his hands behind his back. By the way, he's already shot dead. Okay, so the guy with the camera is walking up to the fence. Like, he's close. He's not, like, shooting from a distance. Like, I don't understand how the cop did not see this guy. Because if they saw him with this camera, and I'm this cop, I run at this guy or I shoot him too. That officer said someone grabbed me a kit over behind the pawn shop. I don't know what that sound was. That was this guy getting a message on his phone. At a bit into the thing, here's another big piece of the puzzle, right? Here's another big piece of the story, is that the officer says that the guy was fighting with his taser, which maybe is true, but then the guy ran away. Then he got shot, he fell. The officer that shot him went and picked up something off the ground from where he started and moved it to where the body had fallen. Say, a taser, so that he could say, oh, he'd grabbed my taser, and he ran off. There's not a whole lot more to the video, except this guy, like, freaking out. He's not even freaking out, actually. He's doing pretty good. But he's like, man, brutality. I think he says that. I just can't believe these cops don't see him. He is so odd. He's standing right there. Why are you not aware of your surroundings as cops and realizing that you just got completely recorded? Like, they don't even go up to him and say, what are you doing? Get out of here. I'm so shocked by that. I cannot believe the cops did not go, what are you doing? Get the heck. He's standing like, he's got to be like 20 feet away. He's really close. You can, he's close enough to hear what the cops are saying. He's like leaning over the fence taking more video. They're not even paying attention to him. They don't even look at him. Is this man a ghost with a camera? Oh, now he's checking his pulse. A second video captured the scene moments later? Well, there is some more information here that is coming out today.
We've now received the dash cam video from this incident. This is what happened leading up to the killing of Walter Scott. Let's watch it.
Okay, we will now watch the dash cam video again. My job to bring you this information. The cop has pulled up behind the suspect. He's pulled into a parking lot. Cop is approaching the suspect's driver's side car. We don't know why he was pulled over. I'm going to turn that audio down.
What's that? Okay, let's start with your license.
Cop left his freaking radio on in the car, so we can't hear anything.
Cop, is your third brake light out? Okay.
Pulled him over for his brake light being out, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Can't make it out. This really needs to be translated because I can't.
No, I don't have insurance. Okay. Well, if you don't have insurance on your car, if you bought it, you have to have insurance.
Well, I haven't bought it yet. I'm saying I'm about to do that Monday.
You just hope you bought it.
Oh, he's pulling an Andrew.
Yeah.
I just bought the car, but I don't have it up to date yet because I just bought it. I'm doing it Monday.
So you don't have any paperwork in the glove box? Okay. No registration in there? No insurance?
He has all that stuff.
What is it? Okay. But you're buying the car?
Yes, sir.
Did you already buy it?
No, not yet. I'm about to buy it.
It's a minute ago you committed. You bought it.
Well,
and you're changing everything over on Monday.
No, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, my God. He's just making stuff up. It's like, I bought the car. No, I didn't buy the car. I didn't buy it Monday. I'm going to buy it Monday. I didn't. Cops back at the car. Skip ahead. I don't know why this whole thing got published. And I don't know how they ended up in a field, because they're in a parking lot. Oh, what happened? I got to go back. He's still in the car. Oh, he's getting out of the car. He's running. He just jumps out of the car. He's pulled over. He jumps out of the car. By the way, the cop must have his license, right? The cop takes the license back to his cruiser. The black guy jumps out of his car and starts running toward, like, the woods. Okay, so now we got the cop's mic feeding. He's yelling, taser, he's going to shoot the guy with the taser. I'm going to skip ahead and see if we get anything. He's losing signal because he's getting further from the car, so I guess the wireless signal is cutting out. I mean, why are you running?
Walter Scott asked for his license registration. they discussed the music you were hearing was coming from the police officer's vehicle, and then all of a sudden he went back to his vehicle, the police officer Michael Slager, and then you saw Walter Scott get out of that vehicle, out of that Mercedes, and simply start running. The dash cam video only showing the car. The other video then later picking up, we're showing you the beginning of this dash cam video.
Yeah, so that sucks, I guess. Like, that you have to run from a cop. What do you think is going to happen? Like, whatever car he's driving, he must care about. He just expects he's going to run and then hide, and then what? What about the car? Like, they just take the car at that point, and they just wait for you to call them and go, hey, by the way, I was just kidding, I need that car back. I don't understand. Well, when it comes around the bend, we've also got the guy who took the video, and he has actually had an interview today. So I'm here to bring you some information about that video.
Faden Santana, who captured the video, is with us now exclusively. His attorney, Todd Rutherford. Gentlemen, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Faden, what have the last couple of days been like for you?
Oh, it's been something that I never expected. You know, I say lives change a matter of seconds, you know, to people, and never thought this would happen. You know, that would be a witness of this video, and that would record this video, and all this would happen to me.
So let's go back to Saturday. You're walking to work. You're on the phone. You see this confrontation, excuse me, between Officer Slager and Mr. Scott. I believe you saw the officer on top of Mr. Scott, and you heard the taser. What did it sound like?
Yeah, the taser, it was just sounding, like I say, like, what? He was using the taser.
What did a taser sound like? It sounded like a taser. It goes...
With Mr. Scott.
How did Mr. Scott react immediately following being taken?
I'm skipping ahead. Maybe there's more information about what he thinks about the video he took.
At that moment, I didn't really thought, you know, that he was going to die, or that he was dead. You know, never maybe thought that maybe one bullet would catch him, you know, and just fell to the ground. Never thought that, you know, how many bullets he was cash by, and yeah, never thought, you know, that he was dead.
I want you to look at the monitor here for a second, because there's a moment on your cell phone video.
This is a 5-minute video. I can't get the, like, I want to get to, like, something fun. Okay, let's see if this is good.
I couldn't tell what was going to happen, so I just want him to know, you know, that he's not by himself.
But then you moved around and you got closer. Yeah. There's one portion of the tape where you're actually pretty close to Walter Scott on the ground, and the officers, now two of them, are standing over Mr. Scott. Did they say anything to you? Did you say anything to them?
I was saying in the video that it was an abuse, what the police officer was doing, what he had done at that moment.
This guy cannot speak any English, by the way.
The officer didn't say that right after I got close, but it was at some point that, yes, he said, you know, so one of them told me to just move from there.
You eventually showed this tape to the...
So they did say, get out of here? They must not have known that he got the beginning then. They thought that he probably ran up, like, after he was already on the ground.
The Scott family, and I know you've described that was a very difficult thing
for
them to see. Mr.
Yeah.
Rutherford, if he had not taken those images with his cell phone, this would be his word against Officer Slager's word.
That's right.
That video changes everything.
The video changes everything, and it shows the importance of body cameras, and thankfully they're now moving to put body cameras on all their officers. But he's afraid. The first thing he said to me this morning was, how can I get protection? You've got other officers that are now being investigated because of this video that said that they performed CPR on Mr. Scott as he was laying there dying. And he says in the 5 minutes afterwards, he never saw them do any life-saving techniques at all, including CPR. So,
yeah, I didn't mention that. So the police report originally said, we shot him. As soon as we made sure he was down, we began CPR. And several officers switched out doing CPR. They took the video. No CPR. Not that it would have made a difference, but, like, it's like, okay, the cops just say things. And what if it had been? What if there had been no video? It would have been this kid saying, "Oh, I saw that guy running away and he got shot." And the cop would have said, "No, are you kidding me? I was on the ground and he was beating my face in." And they would have said, "Okay, we believe the cop."
What does he do when the people that are supposed to protect us are the ones that have turned against us?
Do you have an answer for that? What do you do? Just keep doing what you're doing? Talking about this?
I guess, like I say to Todd, I decide, you know, to show my face to the media because, like I say to him, all my life have changed after this.
Yeah, this guy's forever, like, he just happened to be in the right place at the wrong time or something, and now he's forever the face of let's record police brutality.
You know, with this impact. Now, you know, like I say, people know where I live. People know, you know, where I work, you know. So my normal routine from just walking from my house to work, you know, have changed. And I say to him, oh, I have to, like I say, in some point I thought about staying anonymous, you know, and don't show my face, you know, don't talk about it. But there's something, you know, that I have to go, you know, beyond that at this.
Wow, what a hero, I guess. I don't know. Let's not jump to conclusions. Everyone's going to be like, wow, this guy's so great. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe he's pretty cool. Or maybe he's also a thug that beats people up in the back alleys and he just happened to be walking to work with a cell phone. Maybe he stole that cell phone. We don't know anything. By the way, there's an Indiegogo set up for this officer. It's made like $1,200 so far, which is not a lot, but it's like, let's support his defense fund because he deserves a fair trial, which may be true, but it's like, anyone who's like, here's the thing, anyone who goes, excuse me, I'm innocent until proven guilty is guilty, right? Anyone who says, that man is innocent till proven guilty, right, everyone? Is talking about a guilty person. Anyone who's innocent, for real, is like, what the hell's going on? I didn't do anything. This is insane. I didn't do anything. They're not like, I'm innocent till proven guilty. That's not what you say when you're innocent. Yeah. I guess don't run from cops. Like, you're still being a jerk. Like, you're still being a jerk for running from a cop. He's not like some real nice guy that just happened to be shot by a cop. He's kind of a jerk too, but then now the cop murdered a man, and then the guy who took the video, we don't know if he's a jerk or not. He just happened to have taken the video, but he's kind of cool because he took a video and showed it to people, and now he's going on the news at least going, cops suck, which, fine, it's fine with me, I suppose. So that happened, everyone. That's the update as of today, and I'm sure that more things will happen, and this will probably be a story that we'll hear about for at least 2 years. Speaking of 2 years, Boston Marathon bomber found guilty of all 30 counts yesterday. No surprise, we actually expected him to be found guilty of 30 counts. If you're not following the case, which it's my job to update you on this, the defense was actually going for like, yeah, he is guilty, but his brother convinced him to do it, so let's go a little easy on him. We'll find him guilty, but come on, just give him like life in jail. Don't give him the death sentence. So we're going to find out if he gets the death sentence or if he gets life in jail, I suppose. Like, if I were on that jury, though, I'd be like, guys, what if we just voted, like, not guilty on everything and he just walked out of here? That would be so hilarious. Even though we all know he's guilty and everyone in the country knows he's guilty and he's the most hated person on earth, let's just say not guilty and just see what happens. Like, that'll be way more interesting than putting him in jail. Like, let him go and then watch the media explode and watch everyone on earth explode. It'll be hilarious again. If they explode in another Boston bombing. Whoops, too far. I wonder what they would do. Like, I wonder what the judge would do if they were like, if the jury came back and said, we don't think he did anything. The judge would be like, wait, he admitted to like half of the things. Eh, not guilty. What would they do? They'd probably find some way to be like, we have to override the jury. We have to call them all insane. We have to like replace the jury and start over. We can't let him go. I just vote not guilty on the jury just to see what they would do. Because everyone would be so they would be so shocked they wouldn't even know what to do. Yep, he's guilty. So we'll be waiting for sentencing on that. I'll try to bring you that information when it happens, which could be a little bit. And this one with the officer, this will be going on for 2 years. So that's great fun. Last story of the day, Rand Paul is has announced his candidacy for president. He is the son of Ron Paul. And I always loved Ron Paul. Do I love Rand Paul? I don't know. Will I hold a Rand Paul sign at a polling station? Probably not. Would I always hold a Ron Paul sign and go, Ron Paul's the greatest old man I've ever seen, except my grandpa? Yes, because Ron Paul's awesome. On the other hand, Rand Paul is like, he's a Republican. He's like, maybe you shouldn't smoke so much pot. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, is Rand Paul just saying that to get in? And then he's going to flip the tables? I don't know. All I know is that someone like Rand Paul getting voted into office would be very interesting, let's say. If he gets anywhere close, people are going to be like, but your dad's like a crazy, right? And so we'll see what happens. Could be interesting. That has been News with Nick. Oh, no. Where's the sound? Thanks for subscribing to the PCL. And stay tuned to your PCL feed for more exciting News with Nick episodes and other things.